214-520-HELP. The Hardline Helpline.
Brought to you by
The Good Feet Store.
The Hardline Helpline.
So one thing I do have a question, and we can get to one of the calls here in just a second. But so when you go to Hawaii and there are volcanoes in and around the islands, is there any signage or anything anywhere you go denoting? Because one is active as we speak.
Yeah.
Warning any, like, don't do this, or if this happens, then proceed there. Are they diligent about volcano rules and regulations?
Okay. Allow me to start by saying I've been to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make me a Hawaiian expert.
Right.
But maybe...
More than me, I've never been.
Of people in this room, maybe I can at least draw from my personal experiences. Which, mostly, the first time I went to Hawaii, we spent our time on, quote, the Big Island, which is the one with, like, Kona and Mauna Kea and those. And I believe that is the big volcano island, I think. And as I recall, there were street signs or road signs not that dissimilar from deer crossing and other type. You know, look out for this animal, or look out for, you know, children at play.
Yeah.
Well, I believe on the Big Island, there was occasional references to, like, potential lava crossing.
Which would be weird.
Which would be really weird.
You don't want to get your foot stuck in it.
Or your tires if you happen upon a lava crossing. It, you know, remember on the one, there's rock slides. Just beware of ride. Like, I don't even know what you would do to beware if you were driving and a rock slide starts. I would imagine that's bad, even if you are on notice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like there were some on the Big Island. Subsequent trips to Maui and Kauai suggest, at least in my head, that there are way fewer volcanoes, meaning perhaps zero.
No, there's one on Maui.
Is there?
Yeah, it's been a million years
of
since
the active variety.
Yeah, I believe so. Because if you go the road to Hana,
yeah,
you really can't go much past Hana, because the south side of the island, that's where the lava flows are.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. If you hear some people talk about it, Hawaii only exists because of volcanoes. Like, that's what built up the land over the sea.
Right. Which is wild.
Which is really wild.
So this one's in Kilauea, and the window, the eruption window, cue Eddie Van Halen, is right now. It was Memorial Day, and then today is the window of... I guess they have it down to a science, literally, where they can gauge, you know, within 24 hours or so when the thing actually is going to explode.
But don't you think, like, quicksand and some of the other tropes from movies of our youth, don't you think 90 to 95% of volcano eruptions are probably not enough to cancel school if you're in that general area?
Yeah. It's the freak out factor.
Yeah, but they're not violent eruptions usually.
Where they just take out humanity.
Yeah. I would,
most of the time.
I would think, though, that...
I'd still be very nervous.
Yeah, it'd be weird. But I think that... it'd be like, you know, like a tsunami warning.
Right.
Where you're like, is this... What does this mean? I mean, the bad side of it is you could die.
But most
the
of
other
them,
side is eh.
Most of them are like volcanic queefs.
He's got a point.
I honestly think.
What point?
I think he actually just made a salient point with
so
that.
So, like,
word.
What? Like a discharge of air?
Yes.
Yes.
A buildup of pressure.
There
needs
you go.
To be released.
Yes.
But I think if people from Hawaii came to.
I think it works.
Came to Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas. The tornado corridor in now, like whenever, you know, tornadoes are hitting, are they aware that this is the season of hell when it comes to those storms?
No.
They're not at all.
No.
You don't think?
I don't think
well,
so.
Well, I mean, like, if you go to the ocean, if you go to the Gulf, or maybe not the Gulf. I'm trying to think of, you know, if you're down in the Bahamas or Jamaica or whatever.
How about Hawaii?
How about Hawaii?
I would imagine tsunamis put people on edge way more than volcanoes in almost every case.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. But, like, the hurricane warnings, like, if you're down in New Orleans or whatever like that, like, if you're going at a certain time, if you're going, because the fall is the big season, if you're going then, are you aware?
Yeah, I think people are more aware of hurricane season than tornado season.
I mean, it's just the spring.
I know,
right?
I know, but yeah, I don't think people, they know that there are tornadoes in this area, but they don't know they're concentrated to a certain point.
Probably not.
Year.
Like if people are going to see, trying to think, who did Oklahoma City play in the playoffs before San Antonio? They smoked. Oh, the Lakers. Like if people from L.A. were going to Oklahoma for the game, are they like, man, is that a bad time to go? Is that when those weird things hit?
I don't think so, right? No.
Let's see. I was looking for the number of volcanic eruptions per year in Hawaii. And it says on average only about 1 to 3. So maybe they are bigger deals. But yes, the time I was leaving, which was Friday night, people were on standby for the eruption of the day. At least I was getting people on social media asking if we were okay. And mom is checking in, right? Because she knows you're in some part of the world where something's happening.
Boy, that is a mom thing, isn't it?
Anytime there's a storm, anywhere in Texas, she needs a wellness check. And I appreciate that about her, but odds are if it happens in Texas weather-wise, I've avoided it just by...
Are you near El Paso?
No, I'm not. I'm not,
all
Mom.
Right.
Thanks for checking in, though.
Okay.
Because
there's a bunch of Mexicans crossing over there.
Well, yeah, yes, the big crossing. Yeah, I don't know. It says 50 big ones at Kilauea between 1912 and 2012. Okay, that's once every 2 years. I guess I don't have a good feel for this. Like usual, we're talking out of our rear ends.
No, it's okay. That's the helpline, and we're trying to help each other while not really being able to help each other. That's the beauty of it.
Yes. We want to help.
Where is Kilauea? How far away? Which
I don't know, but I did look this up because in my head, again, going back to you learn about a lot of things as a kid, and we didn't have Wikipedia, so we would just guess things. And for some reason, I had it in my head that you might be able to take a canoe from Hawaiian Island to Hawaiian Island, or like maybe a paddle boat, maybe even swim. Like I had
them
all.
You could see them.
I had them all.
Like you could skip a rock and hit the other island.
Yeah,
right,
Steve, how
right.
You doing?
And then people would say, no, you have to take a flight. And my mind could not grasp that you would need to book a flight to go from island to island in Hawaii. So I did look up as like the crow flies distance. Because Kauai is the island closest to Japan.
Yep.
And the big island
that's the first
is
one.
The island closest to California.
Yeah, that's the first one.
And if you had to go from one to the other, from one end of Hawaii to the other, how many miles do you think that would be?
Do you know?
Yes.
So from the big island.
Because in my head, I had it at about
10.
Let's say 30 to 40 in my head.
Right. I don't
250?
Know. See, in my head, I would say 100. Am I wrong?
Is it like here to Austin?
I feel like Dave nailed it. I think it's almost exactly 250 miles. Yeah, and
which is pretty amazing.
And then I think Honolulu is sort of mid Hawaii in many ways, and I believe that. Yeah, I believe that's about 120 from where I was in Kauai. Big fan of Hawaii.
There's Kauai.
I'm going to go out on
you're
a limb
guy.
And say I'm a big fan of Hawaii. Not sure what to do with the $6 for gas and the $10 for milk.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, when I was there, I ran into a lot of people that were from the Pacific Coast, either California or Oregon.
Yeah.
Maybe Washington, where they will summer back in the continental U.S. and then winter in Hawaii.
Okay.
And I thought that was the most baller move ever.
Yeah.
When you're there, you do try to figure out scheme how you could spend more time there or maybe never go back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's the U.S.
Do you understand?
Even though they don't want to be the U.S.
Why Don Nelson lives there permanently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and seriously, all the games start right after lunch on weekdays. And so you're just like, oh, I'm kind of tired of the sun.
Maybe so it's like kind of nap time when the games are going on?
Yeah, maybe I'll hit the nap, and here we got playoff hockey and playoff hoop.
Wow, it's from so like, weird.
From like 1 to 4 or
1:30. And then you go eat.
Yeah, and then it's great. It's like the best place.
You did great. Bob's World. You did great. Bob's World. All right, it's Bob's World. It's brought to you by
Soccer. American Leak Detection.
Thanks, Ham. Here is Bob.
All right.
Bob.
So I got a story to tell you guys. I don't know how successful we can do this. I wish I could give you a video presentation. It's out there. But
it is?
Well, not my specific experience, but the place I'm about to tell you about is required for this type of part of the story. So brief background is I love vacation with my family. I feel like we're getting near the expiration date of the full family vacation because they're all like leaving college age or in college age, and you can just kind of feel like the hands of time are getting away from you a little bit as pertains to like your Clark Griswold vacation. Okay. And so we started doing this right about the time Justin joined our family. So like 2011, we always have a big annual vacation somewhere. And then it's just great to like experience life as a family. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but you always try to go someplace and then do a bunch of things that feel like a family adventure. Okay. So
they're into, or are you still forcing them to do these things?
Oh, I don't know at forcing them, but I think they're into it to like, oh, are we going to need hiking shoes, Dad? Or what are we doing this trip? This trip, I think we should try scuba diving, you know?
And, yeah.
Let's try the zip lining, and let's try this and that. And so a lot of times it's kind of generic vacation stuff that feels like you're hiring somebody to give you some sort of experience and you feel real safe and secure.
Sure.
But then, just like anything in life, you get a little desensitized to rules and being on a bus with other families. Like, now you want to branch out and you kind of want to try some things that are a little more off the trail.
Yeah, you don't want to be a generic tourist.
No. You want to do adventures, like real adventures. The problem with that is, as dad, especially if you worry a lot, is part of it is I want to really get them out of their normal routines and engaged in adventure, but I also don't want to go to a hospital.
Yeah. We see those stories every day about vacations that go tragically wrong.
Yes. I don't want that part of it. So I want to find the edge of let's do something they'll never forget.
And not free solo.
But also let's not lose any of them.
Yeah.
And as dad, you find that the closer you get to the edge of adventure, the more stressed you are the entire time. And you don't really enjoy the experience at all because you're like watching them. Like we went scuba diving and I swear to you, I did not enjoy the fish because the entire time I'm monitoring all the members of my family to make sure that they're okay. They're enjoying it. It's a big deal, right? And so anyway, that leads us to this year's adventure. And you never know what it's going to be, but in the social media world, my daughter's on the TikTok and she finds places that might be a candidate for our vacation adventure. And so she found a couple, and Hawaii's really cool about it because they're not over legislated in terms of like precautions. Like, if you want to try this, bro, knock yourself out,
sign this waiver,
but it's dangerous. Okay. And so there was a place called like Hideaway Beach. And so this is not dangerous at all, but you know, when you're going to Hideaway Beach, that they're going to make you work down this trail that is perilous. And when you get down there, you find this great beach. But families won't go here because it's complicated to get down there. Maybe a little dangerous. You definitely wouldn't bring grandma and grandpa, and you wouldn't bring your little kids.
Just to get down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because...
Well, hideaway. That makes sense.
In Kauai, at least on the north end of Kauai, there appears to be between 100 and 150 feet drop from where... like the lodging is to where the beach is. And so from your condo or your hotel room or whatever, you see the ocean, but you can't really see the beaches unless you go to like the public beaches that are safe and at your same level. But there are many that are, you're staying at the top of like a cliff. And so to work your way down could be 100 to 150 feet of navigating your way down to where the good stuff is at.
And do they have paths?
Some do. Some don't. The paths are super steep. But the places you're trying to get to, it is good luck, my friend. And so you're thinking to yourself, well, we're all fit. We're all over, you know, we're all 19 years or older. Mom and dad, they're still super active.
Oh no.
The college age kids, I mean, they're at the prime of their life.
Yeah, they can handle anything.
So let's try Turtle Cove. Okay? Now you can find Turtle Cove in Kauai online, and you can find incredibly docile pictures of, wow, this looks like paradise. And you can also find the, now bro, be careful. Okay? So I'll just read the description of one of these places that are telling you about some of the adventures you can find. And Turtle Cove is here, and allow me to read it to you.
Okay.
A short but usually slippery hike. The hike down to the lava shelf, Turtle Cove, is a short one, but it can be very dangerous. The trail is made up of Kauai's infamous red dirt. This stuff has the ability to stain your shoes and socks, but more importantly, it can be as slippery as lake ice in the right conditions. The clay gets slick when wet and compacted, and you can count on the trail being wet and compacted with the flow of wet tourists down to Queen's Bath.
Well, this already, I'm kind of thinking to myself, I don't want to be sliding down the hill the whole way.
The steep trail has plenty of exposed roots and rocks. Try to use these to secure a foothold, and if you do find yourself slipping down the hill, do everything you can to stop the slide. There's a waterfall down below that you could have you plummeting about 8 feet into a rocky creek.
This sounds like a scene out of Romancing the Stone. Remember when they went sliding down the hill together into the waterfall?
Yes. So
this definitely sounds like something that Corby would attempt in his Berks.
Yeah, I got it.
Well...
my Hari Maris.
I definitely had a teenager that tried it in slides.
Oh, no.
Or a college student, let me say. So, on your way down, you're thinking, oh, this is just like Hideaway Beach. Until you get about 25 feet down, and then you're like, this is way worse. And there are ropes.
How do you get up? Back up.
Roots and rocks. So, you work your way down and you start to see that people have put ropes up around trees where you're basically rappelling now. And so, you're putting all your weight on the rope and you're just kind of backing down and you're being careful and you're being slow and everything's fine. And so, we get down and again, it's 150 feet. Like, you look up and you're like, that's 15 stories up there, back up. And it feels like you're going straight up and straight down. Now, you're not. But
yeah.
But it feels super steep and super dangerous. And you're just monitoring all your family members. Everybody fine? Okay. Hey, you need help over there? Okay. And you're trying to be dad. You're trying to be that Superman. So we get down to the bottom, and there's this unbelievable cove. Unbelievable.
At that point, though, at the age that they are...
they got it.
They got it, and shouldn't they have their eyes trained on you and...
we'll get there.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So now, this cove, this giant cove where you're like, what is this? And it's a sea cave into what you can see up there is like a beach, but it's inside a cave. You're like, what's going on? So we're like, I got to go see that. And so you're down at the bottom, and you finally you work into the cave, and you're like, are those rocks? No. Those are giant sea turtles sleeping in the cave. And the cave goes out the other end. And there's another cave also connected to the ocean to where it's high tide. The water comes all the way up and it might even submerge the entire thing. I don't know.
Okay, so how many people are down there with you guys at the time? Is this a huge tourist place?
There's two other people down there.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh,
very, very remote. Very, very difficult to get to. Okay. So now we're down there. We can't believe we are in a cave with eight giant sea turtles. They're big.
And they're sleeping?
Most of them are sleeping. And you're just trying to be very respectful and tiptoe around.
You
and
say, yo, 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 what's up?
What's
up, my turtles?
You don't touch them. You give them a wide berth. You just try to enjoy amazing nature all around you. And as we're doing it, the monsoon begins. And we have an amazing rainstorm start. We're down at the bottom. We're like, oh, we'll just wait it out. No problem. And like every rainstorm in Hawaii, within 8 minutes, it's over. Now, it rains hard.
Washes away all the trails.
But then it's over. And we're like, okay, well, the rain's over. Let's go back up. And it made it incredibly muddy. Now, I don't want to overstate how muddy it was and how slick, and guy says, it turned into ice.
Yeah, 8 minutes of torrential rain on a path that's already slick,
yeah,
going straight up a hill, no.
Okay, so my wife and I are still in the cave because, you know. No, I'm just kidding. I actually took off the shoes and socks.
Lay between those turtles.
I took off my shoes and socks to navigate around the turtles respectfully and carefully and quietly.
How big are they, by the way? Like,
hold
your arms in a circle.
They feel like they're a kitchen table size. Yeah. They're huge, and it's just amazing that you're down there and you're like, "How is this real?"
It sounds like that's why they call it Turtle Cove.
Yes, okay. I figured that out. And so now I'm putting my shoes and socks back on for our way back up and notice two things. Notice one, my Hokas have very smooth bottoms. Mm-hmm. They have been worn completely down from all my walking, my 10,000 steps, you know. And number two, my sock is gone. And I'm like, did I drop a sock tiptoeing around the turtles? And it's totally dark in there. Like, all you can see is the end of each cave. And I'm like, I got to go back and get my sock.
Oh, no.
So I go back and get my sock. But the meantime, my three college kids have now headed back up. Now, for the record, they have all claimed they got back up there in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
I don't know if they're trying to make me feel even more useless. Mm-hmm. But they all claim, and honestly, their clothes were clean enough that it did not appear that it troubled them in the slightest. Find my sock, get back uniformed. Now my wife and I are going to head up because there's no sign of them. And there's a bunch of switchbacks, and so you can't see what's going on ahead of you. But now we're back up to the ropes. And so basically the 150 feet goes 50 feet of rock, 50 feet of ropes, and then the final 50 feet, you're kind of on your own, but that's the last 50
to
the top.
That's when you grab your roots and berries and things like that as you're,
Okay, so we get to the ropes, and it is so slick. And I am a tall man who
is she freaking out?
She's doing way better than I'm doing.
Okay.
But I'm Bambi on ice, bro. I can barely stand. It's so muddy, and I'm trying to use the rope to keep my balance, but the whole time you're like looking back as you're sort of in the rappel position, and you're like, bro, if I lose this rope,
you're going all the way down.
I'm going, they're going to have to airlift me out of here.
And are you holding the rope about shoulder high?
Yeah, or you're just almost
pulling
in the tug
like
of war. So that sort
like
of
you're going
thing.
Up a ski lift.
Yeah, but your feet can't get any traction.
Right.
And so the bottom of my shoes, I admit, treadless. And
like
I should not, I definitely should not have, I definitely should not have tried this. I guess I wasn't thinking it through. And if I ever do it again, I will have way better tread on my tires, but I can't get any footing. And the idea of going 150 feet back up is becoming less and less possible.
You were just considering living with the turtles?
Like, I'm like, bro, I don't know if I can do this.
Are your kids watching you at this
point? No, they can't see us. Like, we're out of sight by still.
Oh, no.
But my wife is doing better than I'm doing. I'm going to say because she had the right footwear on, but maybe it's also because she's 5'2".
Lower center of gravity.
I don't know. I can't explain it. But it was at that moment where it occurred to me that Dad's time as being the alpha of the pack, I'm transitioning to the we need to make sure we take care of Dad.
Yeah. It happens fast.
It happens so fast, dude, because now Justin's like, I'm going to come back and help Dad. So now he's been up there for 20 minutes.
Waiting on you.
And he's like, okay, Dad, just put your foot there. Okay. Now, can you?
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
My youngest kid is now walking me through this.
Fine.
Now we're to the point where we're above the ropes. And there's nothing left but mud and footholds, of which I can't in any way get a foothold because my feet. So now I'm like, I got to go barefoot.
I was going to say, is it better to just take those shoes off?
So I said, yes, it will be. I'm going to go barefoot and I might end up leaving these shoes behind, which I realize you can't do. That's a horrible thing to do. And I would never do that. So don't accuse me of that.
Yeah.
I did not leave did not leave any trash on this trail. That the
sea turtle washes up with a shoelace around its neck,
wearing some sweet Hokas.
So now I'm barefoot. I am covered in red mud like you would not believe. I am basically crawling now, grabbing roots, covered in mud.
You're like Rambo.
My bare feet are doing no better. I might as well be wearing skates.
Like the Predator, if he wanted to come after you, couldn't find you because you're covered in mud.
I was buried. Yes. Oh, you could see were my eyes.
Yes.
Dude, it took me. They clocked me.
Oh, no.
It took Dad 32 minutes to get up this 150 feet.
Are you
what took them
dying
5 minutes?
Of exhaustion, too?
Oh, yeah. And I'm covered in mud, and I can feel my heartbeat, and I'm like, okay, maybe if I grab that bush, and you're the whole time you're thinking to yourself, man,
Sally's like, whoa,
I weigh 225 pounds. If this tree gives out, like how many guys my size are hanging on to this thing? And it was the most humiliating morning, but also an awesome family adventure we'll never forget. But I made it to the top.
Do they have outdoor showers where you could hose off?
They did have a shower because I'm apparently not the first person ever to be submerged in red mud the entire trip.
Did you get a picture? Did they take a picture of sad Dad and his mud?
No, here's the thing. They all felt so bad for me that they were all trying to be respectful. And I'm like, nobody's got a picture of this?
Oh, my God.
Like, that was the worst part, Corby. That was the most humiliating is that they all felt
The pity from the family.
Yes, they all saw Dad lose his fastball.
We can't even. Don't do this to Dad.
Don't even joke, guys.
No,
it's Dad's
so
trying his best. Dad's really embarrassed.
He's done so much for us.
And I'm like, guys, make fun of me. What happened? What I thought we were.
Man, now you're the old guy.
The game passed me by in Hawaii.
It passed
guys.
You by in Hawaii on a mud slope.
So anyway, Turtle Cove, one of a kind. But bro, if you do it, try to make it a dry day, wear the right footwear, and just do your best.
Was Sally, did she not have mud on her like you? Maybe their ankles?
I mean, compared to me, nobody was close. I was so bad.
Did you ever fall down completely?
Yes, twice, but I did not. I was able to get a grab of something both times, but both times my iWatch or whatever, my Apple Watch, wanted to call 911 because the watch says it appears you've taken a heavy fall. And I'm like, I'm fine. But my hands are covered in mud, so I can't tell it to not, you know. It was great. I'll never forget my day at Turtle Cove, but I'll never do it again.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad you're alive.
Yeah, and the turtles are great.
And unmudded.
214-520-HELP. The Hardline Helpline.
Brought to you by
the Good
the
Feet
Hardline
Store.
Helpline.
Thank you, Jay King.
214.
You're welcome.
A little hamster staycation today?
Help. I think he's playing the new James the Bond video helpline. Game that came out.
Yeah.
What a nerd.
The Hardline Helpline.
I mean, he did have 6 weeks off. Like 2 weeks ago. So, you know.
Yeah.
Incredible. What is happening?
It it's just you didn't see the sign up. Just whatever you want. You need days off. Just
it's unlimited vacation now.
It is.
Go away,
Baton. For everyone.
All right.
For everyone. So we were talking about Bob was in Hawaii last week in Kauai, and in Kauai there was some form of
Hawaii.
Yeah.
You said Kauai, the volcanoes.
Oh,
I think Kauai is fairly volcano-less.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Well, again, another volcanic mistake.
Yeah.
There's a guy that's from here that apparently lives over there, and we were talking about lava and things and signs on roads saying, watch out for the deer and the lava type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They had a lot going on in Hawaii.
Lots.
And we didn't know if, like, there were, wherever you're staying, if there was, if you're, you know, within an earshot of a volcano, if they are like, hey, you know, kind of like here with tornadoes and on the coast of, with hurricanes, you might want to have a plan if something goes wrong. And so this guy now lives over there and would like to inform us that we're not smart.
You guys are killing me with volcano talk. This is Harrison. I'm a T1, live in Maui. Reached out to Bob. I grew up actually back and forth from Kauai in Texas, so that's how I stay with you guys. Just to be clear, there is no active volcano on Maui. The only active volcano is on the Big Island. The islands go from the Big Island as the quote-unquote youngest island to all the way up to Kauai, which is the oldest island and the smallest island. Kauai is called the Garden Isle because it is the most old and green. So Haleakala is a dormant volcano that hasn't erupted in, I don't know, thousands of years. But don't expect you concrete landlocked fools to understand the geography and history of Hawaii. Anyways, I'm going to go back to working in paradise. So
what a jerk.
If you boys need any Hawaii education, give me a holla. Please.
He reached out to you?
What an a-hole.
To hang out and stuff?
I believe he was going to give me some tips about Maui or something like that. And I said, I'm over on Kauai. And
okay.
He was nice enough, sure.
Right. I think I was the dummy who said that Maui's volcano was active. But there are, I mean, I guess they're ancient, but there are lava flows on the south side of the island.
I remember the Big Island was the big one, though, because there are massive stretches of volcanic rock where you might expect like a field, but it's this black rock that's kind of cool looking.
Yeah, I love
they
lava
say
rock.
That was all lava.
And I do remember in Maui, there's an overlook where you go to the top and you can look down into the crater of the dormant volcano. But
so Kauai is where we got some scenes from Jurassic Park.
Yeah. And Lost, too. Didn't they film a lot of Lost there?
I think so. I mean, every time you look at the Nepali coast is what they call it, you do think this feels like where Lost was shot. But a big part of the Nepali coast, evidently, is only accessible by helicopter.
So only Corby could get there?
Well, I got to tell you, man.
I'm the only one that knows how to fly one.
For some reason, that's just such a nope with me and my wife. Like, I think you could get my kids on a helicopter in Hawaii, but in every time we go there, we just think about
Kobe.
Well, not just Kobe, but I mean, if you did a Google search of like Hawaiian helicopter crashes in 2026, you will get hits. Like, they have happened within the last couple months, and those people are having a nice vacation that they've looked forward to, and their life ends there. And I realize you could die many ways.
Why are they more frequent there?
I'm guessing because the helicopter economy there is far more robust than it is, say, in North Texas.
Okay, so I'm looking at this right now. This is from the Honolulu newspaper.
Like, I feel like Kauai just had one since spring break, maybe.
Yeah, they did. Let's see. All right. Overall, it looks like 51 people have died since 2000 in 13 fatal helicopter sightseeing tour crashes. So there have been there's basically one every other year on average.
Well, that's it, huh?
That's a big number.
So it's a big number, but it's also not as much as I thought.
The number I found is from 1984 to 2022, there were 54 commercial helicopter crashes in the Hawaiian Islands. 15 of those were fatal, with 57 people killed.
Yeah.
So that's a big tourism thing.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for like honeymoons and stuff. Like, let's go up in a helicopter.
Because you can fly over the volcanoes.
Oh, you can fly over the island and nothing flat. And it looks awesome. And like I said,
you can dip your helicopter balls into
the best part of...
You can teabag the volcano.
Yeah.
The best part of Kauai is roadless. And so you just see these amazing sights that look like the opening to Jurassic Park. And you're just in a helicopter. But my wife and I don't always see eye to eye on every issue. But this one, we're there.
The only time I've ever been in a helicopter was with this fool.
Oh my God, dude.
When we took a helicopter. This was a ticket promotion. Talk about a different time.
How many ticket promotions?
See if you would have agreed to this.
We took a helicopter from the men's club to the ballpark in Arlington for a Ranger game.
I mean, the best of both worlds.
With a couple of strippers and a couple P1s. And then so we watch about 5 innings of the game, and then the helicopter pilot comes back to get us to take us back to the men's club. And the whole time we were at the game, he had flown back to the men's club and was drinking at the bar at the men's club.
So he comes to get us.
He's three sheets.
And he's like, what's the score of the game? You know, I'm like, what? Are you drinking?
Wow.
What's going on? And so we had a discussion like, are we going to do this? And weren't the strippers real drunk?
Yes. Well, evidently,
sitting with them at the baseball game?
Yes.
I don't remember that. I just remember them being on the helicopter and they were hammered.
Yes. Well, and do you remember the culmination of the thing?
No.
So we're on our way back, and you know, you go as the crow flies. You're just hauling diagonally from Arlington to the I-35 corridor right there, uh-huh. Northwest Highway.
Sure.
And so we're passing over Texas Stadium. You know, you can look right down through the hole in the roof.
My God.
Yeah. With strippers.
Unlike God.
And so as we're approaching Texas Stadium, the strippers, who obviously had flown with this guy before, they were like, do the thing. And he was like, oh, I don't know, man, I don't know. And then they're like, please. And he goes, okay, hold on. He turns out all the lights in the cabin and then just goes into a spiral as though we're going to crash right onto the 50-yard line.
Yeah, what did you guys do?
I was just holding on for dear
life.
Yeah,
we're just death gripping the chairs, wondering if we're going to survive. And then he flips the lights back on and pulls up.
Wasn't that great? You girls horny yet?
Jeez.
He's like, yeah, we have to do that counterclockwise. If you do that clockwise, you'll crash.
What an amazing helpline this has been.
And then we land, and I remember saying, y'all, let's go inside. Let's get some beers and stuff. And I mean, like, we were like, hey, thanks, Captain Ron. We appreciate the
tour. We're head out.
Yeah, it's probably time for us to go now.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I've never been approached for that campaign, believe it or not.
I mean,
sales knows to go with the candidates that might say yes.
Was there a listener with us?
Yeah, there were like two pairs of P1s with us. Yeah, they won some contest to go to the Ranger game with Corby.
Die with Corby and Dave from the Hardline.
Wasted Captain Ron.
Wow. Well, that all started with volcanoes.
I honestly think he had in his helicopter like a beer sitting in the little cup holder next to his helicopter equipment.
Right next to the little throttle joystick thing.
Man, you guys have done some living.
We party.